Hi again, everyone. Welcome back to Radio Lee. Well, we are having just amazingly gorgeous weather here where I am in Minnesota. It's a beautiful sunny day. The temperature is really fine. We have low humidity. It's very quiet outside. The birds have been singing all day. And I'm one of those people who just loves to stay home during the holidays. The sounds of hustle and bustle just travel elsewhere. Up north, mainly. And there's a deep quietude that just seems to fall over the neighborhood. And I just love that. I had an email exchange with a dear friend recently, and I ended up writing her at one point a rather lengthy response. And I'm going to share that with you today because I find it all just terribly relevant, and I couldn't think of a finer time for us here in the United States, and even for people elsewhere, to share this letter over Independence Day. My dear friend, yes, I think about it a lot also, letting go. Stillness. And of course, they didn't have this global warming problem back then during the time of Lao Tzu, but other things, war, so on. I believe we can continue in stillness, but how is this defined? You know, that Buddhist proverb, show up, tell the truth, don't be attached to an outcome. I drew heavily on that many times doing readings, and then while promoting my own work, Homefront. And I could abandon Radio Lee, but I don't. Each one, teach one, was the poet June Jordan's approach, and I remember and honor her. I don't think the answer is for any of us to walk away, but to define how we walk. The Dalai Lama hasn't walked away either. I feel as attached to nature as you do. I ask myself, in which season would you prefer to die, Lee? Not spring, no way. Not with all that sprouting, and certainly not in summer with its crickets and warmth. And then, not fall, the smell of it. That particular blue of October sky, the colors of all letting drop into winter. So that leaves winter. Okay, but it would have to be after December and after a beautiful snowfall. I could not go without seeing first snow. And then I really wish to die in my sleep. So I have a very limited window for dying, you see, which makes me pretty attached. Ha ha. But I doubt even a Taoist monk would willingly watch a child drown for the philosophy of stillness. So we are optioned our deeper awareness and how to function with that awareness. That's the way I think of all of this. I try to be aware. I try to control the energy of my functioning. I could not do what you do. I have sometimes felt furious with some people. How the actions of even one person can cause deleterious effect. The science and philosophy of cause and effect. Fail, fail, fail. And to be economically organized around what is often adverse and ruinous is a challenge more than we would bargain for, I'm sure. God is compensation for this situation, is what Joseph Campbell said. So for atheists, if this place, Earth, is our heaven, then what? And it is, if you ask me. I think the perspective that teaches our oneness with all things would also accept the actions of our relational treatment of those things. So from that perspective, I am not certain stillness is inaction, but energy of action. From that point, I am free to continue. From that point, it doesn't matter if someone hears Radio Lee. It matters that I put it out there for someone to hear. And isn't that what you do? So then, we are free to continue in stillness, right? You're smarter than I am, my friend, in many ways, and surely about science, so I know I'm not telling you anything new. But maybe we can just feel the peace of the all without the desperation of the now. I am not sure. My niece is 12. Suffering? Desertification? We must say it is worth saving nature as we know it, as much as we would instinctively grab a drowning child or friend clinging to a cliff. You grabbed me all winter. This was a good thing. You helped me not fall, but you were not unstilled doing so. I don't want the voices of warning, including my own, to make me or anyone feel desperate. Part of this is folly, I know it. I'm not hungry, I'm not cold or thirsty or homeless. But I don't want to attach to that urgency, and what I mean is the energy of it, even though I know things are urgent. An acquaintance has been sending anti-Hillary opinion pieces that prove to be little more than othering rhetoric. I don't want to be involved in that energy. I know Hillary is no miracle. Nobody is in this circumstance. I'm not foolish, but my take beyond all rhetoric is that she is actually the one who's got the best shot at this. But if it's business as usual, and it might be, well, that will be that. And this is not to say climate change experts and the activists should not write. I am grateful they are here working as hard as we are. But I also feel the very reason things are so turbulent right now is exactly because the many imbalances are getting checked. The egalitarian paradigm is at hand. What a second coming. With all the terrors upon us, you wouldn't think it, but I think these things are happening as they are exactly because great strides have been made, and we are actually getting better. We have done the worst in the last 150 years. Okay, the last 5,000 years. But we've also done the best. I think so. So now you are here, and I am here. We are simply incidental. Co-incidental. Right. But that doesn't mean inherently ineffectual. Right? Lao Tzu, Book 1, 37. The way never acts, yet nothing is left undone. I was thinking along such lines just the other night. I was out on my patio again. Warm evening, few bugs. The sky, Alaska angle, still light enough at 10 p.m. Such glory. I could only sit and look into it. I just sit and love it, and there is no phone with me, and I have no desire for anything, and I am filled. Nothing feels undone in me in such a moment. And I was thinking to myself how I wish every single person could feel this, and what could happen as I looked out at the things growing around me. What could happen if we would all create healthy soil and grow some food? And I don't want to oversimplify because I know you will be alert to that. But I am struck how everything is right in such a moment. Nothing left undone. Well, anyway, thanks for telling me your deepest feelings. I really understand this dilemma. I suppose I should have been more simple in my response. Wrap it up in one sentence, Lee. Like this, Kermit would say, "It's not easy being green." So that's my letter to my friend, and as synchronicity would go, as synchronicity often goes, dear Ellie Wiesel has died just last evening, I learned. And he is another hero of mine, a champion for human rights, no doubt, a survivor, no doubt, a generous human being. And I have a tiny, 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 but very special connection to him. When I released Homefront, I asked permission from him to use a couple lines from Night for my poem, page 13 forward. And this was a little bit difficult as an independent poet, self-published book. But I got through Ferrer, Strauss, and Giroux, and I had a great woman help me, and she got in touch with his publicist, and he wrote back through his publicist that I needed no permission from him to use any of his words. And that kind of generosity of spirit is what much of Radio Lee concerns itself with. So I wish today, as we head into July 4th, Independence Day in the United States, I wish to honor Mr. Wiesel now, reading that poem from my book, Homefront, in which I quote him briefly. And for those of you who have my companion CD, Just War, this poem can also be heard on track 13. Page 13 forward. After Elie Wiesel, Night. Who would have thought things could have ever gotten this far? One line following the next as steps in the night follow their path in a particular pattern of sound each witness may have heard, might hear even now a little differently. A sound with a shuffle or a muff, a click or a tap, a hollow sound, an echo perhaps, whatever it was, remains inexact, though the overall effect is still intact. Someone had been walking, perhaps in numbers, maybe alone, or someone has been running here, perhaps alone, maybe in numbers, the sound itself working over years, working as the women worked, working all these years in a world that kills children, in a world the women prepare them for, cooking eggs, roasting, baking cakes, hoping the suffering still drowning in their tears would one day come to an end, would one day free them from their kitchen vows, where they made so many promises out loud. "We will not be trite about this," they wrote in blood. "We will say what has happened here." I thank you for listening, and I will see you next time on Radio Lee.